Well, greetings to each one of you this afternoon, and had a good morning, and we just look forward to the truths of God's Word even this afternoon. Let's, for our first reading, let's read out of the book of Psalms. Let's read out of Psalm 73. Psalm number 73. Let's start reading it at verse 1. It's a good psalm. It's the heading is "Envy Not the Wicked," and it's good to note. I mean, Psalm 73 it teaches that, and you know, as you, that definitely is. Can be a problem with ourselves, you know, envying the wicked. It can be problems with our children, can be problems with our grandchildren, and it's just a good truth that we need to keep in the forefront of our mind. Truly, God is good in it to Israel, even such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet are almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Psalm 73, that just finished verse 2. Verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Again, this is talking about the wicked prospering. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all day long I had been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, 17 is a transitional verse. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into destruction? As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one waketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. Just a great reminder, Psalm 73. I graduated in the year 1973, and sometimes I keep that as a reference. Now, where is that psalm about comparing, and where do kids compare? In high school, and 73, okay? You know, at least I make that connection. Psalm 73, I think a comparison, you know, and looking at the wicked and thinking that they're prospering. So let's sing hymn 144. Receptive Hears, hymn 144. Let's kneel and pray together. Father, we're thankful again to gather together around thy word and just to kneel and bow down and to enter into the sanctuary. And as we know, Lord, that even as the psalmist went into the sanctuary, that he was able then to understand life better, understand principles of living. And Father, we're thankful for that. We're thankful for thy word. We're thankful for the truth of thy word and the clarity of thy word and the practicalness of thy word and for preserving thy word, Lord. And we just thank thee for being the author and for giving it to us, Lord. And so bless our time together, Lord, around thy word, and open our hearts, make it, Lord, thy word to each one of us individually. And Lord, may we hear, Lord, thy voice, and then respond and do according to thy will. So bless our time together. And Lord, we want to pray for those in Sunday school. Bless them and the teachers, Lord. May they be laborers. May the teachers be laborers in the harvest, because we know there's a harvest field in the Sunday school with the Sunday school kids, that teachers could work and sow the seeds. Lord, then we would trust thee for fruit someday that would come as a result of their labors. So bless them. And Lord, even as we prayed earlier this morning, we do pray for the elections coming up. We know that righteousness exalts a nation. And so, Lord, we do just pray for righteousness, that, Lord, that thou would exalt our nation. And we just need to humble ourselves and pray and be reminded of what, Lord, that thou didst tell Solomon, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. So, Father, we need to cry out to thee as a nation and to admit our waywardness. And, Father, just to remind ourselves and to ask thee for help and in walking according to thy ways, Lord. And again, we just pray that thy will be done. And Lord, we know that thou dost are sovereign, and even in elections and in working all these things out for thy purposes, Lord, many times we don't understand, but we're thankful that the just can live by faith, and we can live by faith. But Lord, our prayer and our desire would be that thou would raise up godly people. And Lord, we know that thou dost raise them up and put them down, as it says in Psalms. So we trust thee, Lord, but we pray and ask for thy intervention, and Lord, that thou will move the hearts of people to vote, that we could point our nation to thee and to thy principles and thy way. So God, again, hear our prayer and guide us. We thank thee for each one here today, and we just ask for a blessing for us as we approach thee. We thank thee for thy Holy Spirit, and even as we are approaching the scripture, even in Galatians, where the Holy Spirit comes and we see the result of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask thee for that wisdom even this afternoon, and the grace. And we know that the Holy Spirit has come to teach, and we ask thee to be our teacher. And Lord, that's easy to be said, but then to stop and allow thee to be the teacher is our desire, Lord. And I pray thee, Holy Spirit, that thou was in each one of our hearts, convict us of sin and of righteousness and justice and the way we should walk, and remind us of the things that are right and true. And Lord, help us to not only love thy word, but to engraft thy word into our lives, that thy word could be engrafted, and then that thy word could produce fruit. Father, we are thankful for the fruit of the season, the apples. And Lord, help us to be a tree that is bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatever happens will prosper. So Lord, help us to meditate on thy word day and night, even as the psalmist said. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and help us to delight in thy word. We pray for this next week. Lord, give us opportunity to maybe to reach out to people in our neighborhoods or people at work or at school. Or Lord, help us to just, we would ask thee to provide opportunities, and then also provide grace, Lord, just to be ready to give an answer and to serve, Lord, as thou wouldst lead. Let our light so shine before men that they could see our good works, even in serving, and glorify thee in heaven. And Lord, we do pray for the time, just a few short weeks, and we'll be gone to the women's prison on Sunday for services, and we ask thy blessing upon that, Lord, and bring the people that would be of thy choosing, and those that can attend from our church, and Lord, just even be preparing the hearts of those there, and we are thankful for Lemuel and the work that he does, and so bless that day, Lord, for thy kingdom and thy glory. We pray that thy kingdom would come and grow and be advanced, and that thy will be done. So, Father, thanks for this time. Thanks for the time of prayer, and we love thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Well, just if your Bible's open in Psalms, let's just stay there just a moment, and then we'll go to the New Testament. This morning I was looking at Psalm 98, reading Psalm 98, and I was very blessed by Psalm 98. But look at the top of Psalm 98. What does it say? It says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." I thought, that's good. Let's sing unto the Lord. We've done that, haven't we? I thought, well, what are the other... And I looked at 99. You know, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble." I thought, well, yeah, we want to do that also. What else do we want to do? I looked at Psalm 100. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." And again, that's what we want to do. Psalm 101, the first verse. "I will sing of the mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, I will sing." So, you know, we see that. And then what does it say in 102? "Hear my prayer, O God." I thought, well, you know, we're doing what's right. We're singing, we're praying. And then I thought, well, where's the word? And I looked, I don't see the word. I said, I know where I'm going. I'm going to 119. I'll bet that'll say something about the word. So I flipped to 119, and I looked at the first verse. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way that walk in the law of the Lord." That's what we want to do. So, I mean, right there you go. I thought, well, this, you know, it just aligned with what we do at church. We sing, we pray, we look at the word. And so that's good. Edie's been reading us the Psalm of the day, and it's been really good. If you want a little change of pace in your devotions, morning devotions, so like today you'd read Psalm, and I've said this 12 times before, but it's okay. Today she'd read Psalm 4 and then 34, and you add 30s till you get all through the Psalms. And I did that yesterday morning, and I think the third is about one of the, you know, then you read another and you think, well, this is really good. I mean, Psalm 3, Psalm 33, 63, 93, 123, you cannot beat that sequence. I'm telling you. That is a good, the third day of the month is really a good morning. I'm telling you. Flat out, no, it's not the best, it's just a good morning. I didn't read it this morning. I didn't do that sequence this morning, but I'm sure it was good. Okay, well let's go to the New Testament. And let's read out of the Gospel of John. Let's read out chapter 3, John 3. It's a great, great story of the interview with Nicodemus. Let's start at verse 1 and read through this. And be thinking about, you know, how does this, how would this apply to you and I? "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." Now again, this is the first time you've read it. today, probably. The first time today. And you know, there's been experiences in your life this past week and this past month that will apply to John 3. So now so don't say, I've read this, I've studied Nicodemus, I know the passage, I know John 3:16, I know John 17, I know John 3:21, I know those passages. But listen, you may know those passages, but it may apply differently today than it's ever applied before. And that's the beauty of Scripture. Scripture's a live document. It doesn't change. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. But this is different today because you met somebody yesterday or you've had different experiences, and this applies in a different way. And that's how I'm looking at this. How does this, how is this applying? Okay, here comes Nicodemus. Verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art the teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I love Jesus' questions. I love his rationale. I love the fact that he didn't get sidetracked in the first verse, and second verse. I love his dialogue, and let's learn about his dialogue and Jesus' persistence to the truth. Verse 4 again. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Thou art a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak of that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. For if I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he is come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved, you got it, darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Okay, let's just stop there and consider these words. I'm trying to think. I know I've gone over John 3:16, but it's such a good passage. But let's just start at verse 2 just a moment, and then we'll get to John 3:16. Verse 2. The same came by Jesus' night, obviously Nicodemus, and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. So what does Nicodemus want to talk about? He wants to talk about miracles. You know, I mean, how can you do these, Jesus? You know, and tell us. People were fascinated with the miracles. And I think we would be too. I mean, you think about those the fish multiplying and the bread multiplying. You think, how can that happen? You know, how could Jesus do that? And stilling the storm. I just think that would be so amazing. You know, and you talk. You know, so what is? You know, tell me about that. And did you ever get in the conversation with somebody? And you're getting to the point where you want to talk about John 3:16. You're thinking John 3:16. We need to talk about John 3:16. And the person says, "What does the person say?" I don't know if I can think of five examples, but let me give you one. Because I was talking to a lady at school, and she says, "You know." The spiritual things were open. Kind of that door was open. You know, I think she even, I don't know how the conversation got started because it was a long time ago, but she says, do you think people that commit suicide go to heaven? That's not what I wanted to talk about. It was nowhere near where I wanted to go. And yet that was her question at school. I'm trying to think because I was at Elgin, Illinois, and we were loading up some things that Keith and Emily had that they wanted to give away. The junk man came to get them. It was, you know, like maybe a washer or dryer. What was it? We were out in the front driveway. We had some stuff to give this guy. This guy came around. He wanted it because he was going to either scrap it and get money. But he was cut. And so we got in the conversation. And then he had this, you know, another question. And it was like, what do you think about talking in tongues? I mean, didn't have anything to do with what I wanted to talk about. Talk about talking in tongues? You know, talk about these things. I mean, it's not quite that far out, maybe what Nicodemus, but I'm just telling you that's what happens. If you get to, you know, if you start pursuing, you meet somebody at school and you say, oh, what church you go to? And they say, the Third Baptist, south of the synagogue, east, whatever, you know. So that's the church they go to. So then you think, oh, maybe we can, you know, I go to the Apostolic Christian Church. And, you know, you're just ready to say, this is what we believe. And you might, you know, but then they'll say, stop just a minute. You know, what do you think about what the Pope's doing? Oh, man, it's just not where I wanted to go. I almost sense that's what Nicodemus was like, wasn't it? That happens. This happens. I love this conversation because Nicodemus kind of wanted to take it over here. And Jesus said, no, I want to take it over here. So what did Jesus say? Look at it. Verily, verily, verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's not, Nicodemus is right back in the conversation. Sometimes you do have to be a little bit sensitive to the person you're talking to, because Nicodemus might have blown Jesus off. So, no, I don't want to talk about that. I remember one time we were at the bank. Remember the CD? She wouldn't helping me load that stuff on that trash truck, but you were sitting with me at the desk with this guy at the bank, and so I wanted to talk about John 3:16, and because Jesus wanted to talk about it. Jesus loved to talk about it. He talked about that all the time. I mean, that's all he talked about mainly, or he taught or would teach about himself. So I thought, I want to talk about my Savior. And then, I the Lord prompted me, just said, would you mind if I ask you some spiritual questions or something like that? Would you mind if I just said that? And he said, you know, I don't want to talk about it. And I said, okay. He said, I've had some bad experiences and I just don't want to go there. Now, Nicodemus wasn't that. He wasn't closed. And look at the conversation. It's a beautiful conversation. Each conversation's a little bit different. But Jesus is leading him to verse 16. And again, it's a classic verse, and one that we need to, I think, use. Because I know I was at Gridley on a Wednesday night. So that might mean a couple of you were there on that Wednesday night. But it was just after a Sunday, and some of Kevin and Laura's friends came to church, and we talked to one of them about John 3:16. And it was, I mean, it was very relevant then. And so then, that was on a Sunday. Then Wednesday, where was it, Gridley? And so we talked about John 3:16. So maybe you've heard it before, but it's very relevant. So if you say, you know, if you ask, you say, okay, Morgan, what church do you go to? He says, well, I go to a certain church. Oh, that's good. And they'll say, likely he might respond, what church do you go to? And or he might say, what do you think about the rapture? No, I don't want to talk about that. I don't know what he'd say. I mean, I tell you that they do that. Once you get to the point where you want to pursue something, they'll change the subject on you. So I don't know what Morgan would say. I say, oh, okay. Let's say he does it properly. He says, okay, I go to the... He says, what church you go to? I go to the Upside Christian. Could I just tell you kind of a summary what our church believes? That's an easy question. And you know, you can lead into it. Can I just tell you what our church believes? And most people will say yes. That's sure. Go ahead and tell me. It's real simple. And you probably know the verse, John 3:16. Now, you know, the only reason I'm sharing this, and we don't have much time. We got, you know, three or four or five minutes. That's all we need. And that's all you need with another person. 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. But listen, I think it's our responsibility. And listen, if you go to the prison, oh, I'm excited about that. If you go to the prison, I don't know if I'm going to share this or not. and if you have a goal, and I've told some of you this before, if you have a goal, your goal is to share with one person a day for the whole year. You just made a year goal. You're going to share with one person every day for the whole year. That'd be a pretty aggressive goal, wouldn't it? I actually have heard one person had that goal. I don't know how long, but he had that goal. And his goal is to share with somebody every day. And he went to bed one night, and he goes, oh, no, I forgot to share today. He got out of bed, and he drove, and he picked up the first hitchhiker, and he says, get in here and be quiet. I got to share with you, and then I got to get back to bed. So, I mean, he just had to share. Okay, let's say you set that goal. And I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm just saying you set that goal. Listen, you got a service in the morning. There's 200 women. You can share the gospel. There's a service in the afternoon, and you can share. If you've never been to prison before, Lemuel will talk a little bit, and then the different people will talk. And it's kind of like, it's a little bit like open mic, and it's a blessing. I love it because I can just sit there and listen. Plus, we do some singing, and the women love the songs. We're going to have a special group, I think, again this year and we had a special group last year. It was awesome. But listen, so you share with 200 women, and then the afternoon service, there's 200 more, and you share the gospel both times in your own way, maybe a little testimony. You've got 400 people in one setting. You've covered the whole year. Isn't that awesome? So if you just go to the women's prison every year, you could set that goal because you know you're going to make it. 400 this day, and I'm good for another year. I mean, we can smile, but I'm just saying that was on Jesus' heart. Jesus would do that. With people he met, he would talk about it. Okay, quickly, how do we talk about it? Well, my church, can I just share a summary of what my church believes, what my church teaches? And it's probably summed up best in John 3:16. For God so loved. So that's the first point. And I've shared this before. Please don't weary of it. For God so loved. the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved, you know, God loves you. God loves me. We serve an awesome God. I love the trees. I mean, our Creator God, he loves us. Or you can point to the flowers, or point to the birds, or point to the geese. I mean, if you're going for a walk with your neighbor, and here come the geese. We were walking last night, and the geese were so loud, we couldn't even hear each other talk. I mean, they really were. You know, and the Creator God, the one that made those geese, you know, that created the world, the stars, and he created that. That God loves us. He loves me. He loves you. God so loved the world. That's the first thing. God so loved the world. Now, what condition is the world? You ask people, what is the condition of the world? What word comes to your mind? I'm going to ask you that. What's the condition of the world? Right. Sinful. Now, they may not say sinful, but they may say evil. They may say crazy. They may say wild. For God so loved the sinful world. The world is sinful. God loves, he still loves the sinful world. And you know what he did? Again, this is from the Bible. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He gave. God's a giving God. He gave his only begotten Son. And that's, you know, and you don't have to go to Israel to see that. You can see it by faith, through the eyes of faith. But if you get the opportunity, go to Israel. Go and see where Jesus, and go to Jerusalem. You can see it. He gave his only begotten Son. And that only begotten Son died on the cross. And he rose from the dead. And whoever believes in him, and actually Jesus talked about that, the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him, that's the fourth point, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that a great message? For God so loved, he loves us, the sinful world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then you can go into your testimony if you want. Let me just share a word of testimony. You know, when I was 18 years old, and then you go, but my time's up. But you know, some people don't want to hear about Jesus, and part of it is, it tells us right here, verse 19, and this is a common condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know, a lot of people's, this is a statement that's true often. A lot of people's morality dictates their theology. You know, a lot of people's morality dictates their theology, and they don't like this theology. But and Jesus said that, you know, people will love darkness rather than light. I'm not going back. Boy, Psalm 73. Did you catch that key verse in there? Oh, almost. Man, I did forget. But I've said enough. So if you have a chance this week, keep this verse in mind. If you have a chance this week, you can ask the person, nice to meet you. Where are you from? Do you attend a church? Are you interested in spiritual things? And, well, the church I attend, this is what they believe, John 3:16. And it's a brief summary. Doesn't cover everything. If you want more of the doctrine, get the morning CD. Oh, that's Greg, or Eric's over there. You were here. He was here this morning. They switched on me. Eric's over there. You want the doctrine? Get the morning message. You know, but if you just, I mean, this doesn't cover it all, but it's enough, I think, that is sows a seed. This is sowing seeds to those we come in contact with. So thanks for listening.
Let's sing together from hymn 168 in the Zion's Harp. 168. We'd ask a brother to please lead us now in a closing prayer.
Father in heaven, we turn to thee again in this day, thankful for another day, Lord, that we could set aside our earthly toils and cares, that we can come into thy house. We thank thee for thy protection, Lord, as we travel, and we thank thee for these loved ones here in the Indianapolis church that welcome us in. And we just pray that thou would bless them. Bless the ministers and the Sunday school teachers who bring forth thy word. We thank thee for their willingness, Lord, and we just pray that we'd always be thankful for all that we have. We thank thee, Lord, that thou dost love us so much that thou didst send thy Son, that he was willing to die and give his life for us and shed his blood that we might have this hope of eternal life in heaven with thee someday. Just help us ever to be mindful of what thou hast done and help us to be willing to go onward and to share thy word with others and to be an example that we should be and to be willing to stand up for thee and for thy word and show thy love to others. So just go with us. Be with the many who are less fortunate, Lord. We know there are many who are needy and need thy help and thy love, and we each one need to appreciate what we have and be willing to help others along the way. So go with us now, protect and provide for us each one, and continue to call souls unto thee, Lord, while there's yet time and day of grace. Just pray that thou would go with us and add to this week prayer where it lacks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.